You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I'm so grateful to God for that. Thankful the fact that you ought to have joy if you don't have nothing else. You can see the storm and the rain can't take that from you. See, if you all you have is happiness, see, happiness just depends on what's happening. But joy is down in the soul, it's down in the bone. Amen. If you got joy, amen. The world and the devil can't take that from you. Say, I still have joy. Amen, amen. We invite your attention this morning to an Old Testament passage of Scripture you'll find in 1 Samuel and the 15th chapter. Allow me to read, beginning at the first verse, a few of the following verses. 1 Samuel 15, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he had laid wait for them, him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Verse 9 said, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatling of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. The message is entitled, Kill It All. Kill It All.
Come on, Pastor.
Kill It All.
Reach, reach.
The nation of Israel had a theocracy of allowing God to be in charge of them. God was sovereign in all of his way and his dealing and bringing them out from bondage in Egypt, and had allowed them to wander through the 40 years of their wandering through the wilderness. But in the time that they had came out, the Amalekites, the people of Amalek, had seized upon them and caused them to have great war with them. God did not forget that. And God put a ban upon them. And according to Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 through 19, they took advantage of the children of Israel because they were cowardly fighters. They were wicked in all of their ways.
Yes, sir.
And they attacked the feeble that were behind, the injured of the flanks of the behind, and those that were faint and weary. But God put a ban upon them, and he said that when you come into the land which I promised you to possess, I want to blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven, but I shall not forget it. God had placed the children of Amalek under a ban for utter destruction, and here God has now given the order to the king of Israel. He's the king now because the people wanted the king. They rejected God, and they wanted, instead of a theocracy, they wanted a monarchy. They wanted to have someone to rule over them as a king. And while they were warned by Samuel, the prophet, the seer, that this king would do them wrong and harm, but they said, no, we would have us a king over us. And so this is what God gave them. Sometimes God gives you what you want, even though you may not want it after you get it. Amen. And so it was that they anointed Saul,
yes, Yes, sir.
To be the first king of Israel. He looked like a king. He was taller than any man. He walked like a king, and God had to give him, God gave him a new heart, another heart, and then God allowed his spirit to come upon him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he prophesied with the prophets. But here's something you should know, that in this day in which we live, God does not allow his Holy Spirit to come upon us. He allows his spirit to indwell us. You see, when the Spirit of God came upon people, the Spirit could also leave people. But now he comes to indwell the believer. So we are walking by faith by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
But at that time, the Spirit came upon him. And there were some good things about Saul. He was a good leader for the most part. He was a good fighter, but he was flawed. He had some insecurities. He was flawed, and he wasn't as strong as he thought he was. And he had a problem. He wanted the people to love him. And I found out years ago, if you're going to be a good leader, everybody ain't going to love you. Amen. Amen. There's some people can't stand you right now. Amen. You talk to many pastors, they'll tell you that the congregation, don't look for them to always love you. That's not going to always happen. But love God and let God love you and be a good leader. But he had a personality problem, and he wanted them to honor him and to love him, and he wanted them to obey him to a certain extent, but he needed to understand to obey God. And so Saul had offered a sacrifice when he shouldn't have. Amen. He had done some things that he shouldn't have done, but now the word has come to him clearly from the prophet of God, the seer of God. Samuel was old now, and his sons had been everything but good. And so now they had wanted a king, and so now they have a king. And so the words are plain, as I've read them to you. Hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. I remembered what they did to Israel when they came out of Egypt. I want you to smite Amalek, the children of Amalek, the Amalekites. Utterly destroy them. Wipe them out from the face of the earth. Kill everything that they have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Kill the men, the women, the boys, the girls, the babies. Kill everything. Kill all of the animals. A great slaughter. It was real plain.
Yes, sir.
Kill it. Kill it all.
Yes, sir.
Kill all of it.
Yes, sir.
But when they went to war, and then when Saul's army, Israel, came upon the Canaanites who were there, he allowed them to leave and to go because they were with the Amalekites. He said, lest we destroy you, because we remember how you were kind in the ancient days to the children of Israel. So he allowed the Canaanites to depart from them. And so Saul smote the Amalekites. He took the king, Agag, as a trophy, a prisoner of war. And then when they were getting ready to kill some of the animals, they only killed the bad-looking one. But he said, they got some good fat sheep here. They got some nice cattle here. Did not God say, kill it all? Yet still, he thought about his own glory, his own prestige. His head got a little big. And your brother and sister, sometimes we don't do what God says to do because we get a big head. Amen. When Saul was little in his own sight, God made him a king, but now he's got a big head. His intent was to take something and make him look bigger to the people. As a matter of fact, if you read verse 12, it says he even erected a monument for himself. Not for the Lord, but for his own honor in Carmel, he erected a monument of this great victory. Yeah, so now he has done battle, and they have not killed everything. And so now Samuel has come on the scene. Samuel had heard that he had built this monument to himself in Carmel, and now he's at Gilgal. So Samuel comes to Gilgal, and listen to what Saul says when he sees the prophet of God come. He says, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. What a great salutation. That's a wonderful salutation. But Samuel said, wait a minute. You have kept the commandment of the Lord? What meanest this thou then, the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? In other words, your sin is telling on you. You did not kill everything like God told you to do. But before we judge Saul too harshly,
come on, sir.
Yeah, we got to look at ourselves. Amen, amen. God has told us to kill some thing that's still walking around here and ain't dead. Amen. We've got some habits. We've got some sins. Some deeds of the flesh that are walking around here telling on us when God told us to kill it. And we haven't killed those things at all. Brothers and sisters, please let me explain to you that when you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you were began to become engaged in what's called spiritual warfare. When you are born again, you have received a new nature. Now, the old nature is not really passed away. It should be passed away, but now you have two natures. Oh, yeah, there's the new you and the old you. I want to make this plain to you. There's the new man that wants to do what God says to do, and that old man that wants to do whatever he wants to do. So there's this battle going on, and this battle will go on all of your life. Amen. But the answer to the battle is found in Galatians 5:16, and this is what Paul said. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, and you cannot do the thing that ye would. Amen. You might think you're doing it, but you're not really. But you need to kill some things. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Don't provide for the flesh. Don't allow the flesh to grow. Amen. To fulfill the lust thereof. You've got to starve the flesh. You can't feed the spirit man, and you cannot feed the fleshly man because they don't eat the same thing. Amen. One eat angel food cake, the other devil food cake. You can't feed the same thing. Starve the flesh. Feed the Spirit of God with the Word of God. And that's how you have to do. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You need the word of God to grow this new nature. This new nature has to overcome the old nature. Do you not understand that? The war is right there. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're at war, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
But you got to kill the desires of the flesh. Mortify is the word that God uses in Romans 8:13. This is what it says. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Did you get that?
That's right.
Through the Spirit. You don't have enough power to even blow your nose, but you have power to kill that which is killing you if you do it through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, God gave you the power to deny yourself something. That's why it says, if any man come after Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him.
You
have to learn how to deny yourself there. Kill it. Kill it all. Starve the flesh. Feed the new spirit man. Feeding the old man will revive and it will recover and it will take over. That's why some of you have for a little while, you did pretty good staying away from some of those things. But when you got back into it, it overcame you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then let me make it plain. You played the numbers. You got saved and you quit playing the numbers. And then you say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I have limited how much I play now. I don't play as many numbers. I don't put as much money on it, but you still play the numbers. And you're afraid to stop playing the numbers because you're afraid that your pet number might come out. You better kill it. You better kill it. No, I know the moment I quit playing my favorite number, it's going to come out. And if it come out, it's going to make me rich. You're going to die, and that number ain't going to never come out. Kill it. Starve it. Starve the flesh and the deeds. You are a new person in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But you have to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, kill it. You've got to mortify the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Colossians 3:5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then he gives a list. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, the covetousness, which is idolatry. It said, mortify, kill the old nature. Let me make it plain, because a lot of y'all don't know what concupiscence is. It means the allures and the distractions and the attractions of this world. You've got to kill those things. Amen. Let me make it down. I'm talking about sexual sins. Fornication, adultery, pornography. I'm talking about alcohol and drugs. Smoking and gambling, profanity, lying, stealing, gossip. That's just a few. You got to kill those things. Not just limit them, but kill them. See, it's got a little quiet after I said that. I start naming your sin. Amen. You don't like it when I name your sin. Amen. Yeah. See, sin in general, you're all right. But I start to, he hit that one. Yeah. He didn't say pornography, did he? Yes. Yes, I did. Gambling? Well, I mean, it's just a little gambling. It's killing you. Kill it. But I only cuss when I get mad. It's still profanity, ain't it? The problem I'm seeing, brothers and sisters, is that we have the command here from God to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to kill those things. And yet, and still, we bring them to church with us. We leave the church, we take them back home and everywhere that we go, and we have the ability and the power to kill these things before they kill us, but we still have not killed them and put them to death. It says, put to death the sinful nature, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with the sexual immorality, impurity, the lust, the evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Kill the deeds of the flesh before it kills you. This is what it says in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But there seems to be that the church has a romance with the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He told Saul, kill everything. Take no prisoners. Make no covenant. No agreement, no peace treaty. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. There's no straddling the fence. There's no place for neutrality. Kill everything. Utterly destroy it all. And God is saying the same thing to you. Put all of those things away. Don't play with them. Don't play with it. Don't make a pet out of it. It's spiritual warfare, brothers and sisters. Kill it all before it kills you. So Samuel has come to Saul, and Saul had made his blessed how the Lord I perform the commandment. But his sin was telling on him in the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen. So Samuel said to him, What's your problem? Remember when you were just a little somebody to yourself and God raised you up? He said, the Lord told you to utterly go and destroy the sinners. That's what it says in verse 18. Until they be consumed. Now, he didn't do it. And I'll tell you why I know he didn't do it. Because in chapter 30, you see the Amalekites burning Ziklag down where David had been staying. So the Amalekites were still around at that time. So Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord in verse 20, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. But we have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Hold up. Did God tell you to take the king prisoner? You're supposed to kill him too. Kill everything. You see, that's the problem. A lot of us take things and we say, well, God didn't really mean that, did he? God knows my heart. That's what we lazy. He knows I'm weak. Yeah, he knows you're weak. But there's no excuse for your weakness when he's given you the power through the Holy Spirit to be strong. Well, he knows I'm only human, but are you a human Christian? See, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he changed you on the inside. You ain't what you used to be. You may look the same, but you ain't the same. You need to quit acting like you're that same old person because he changed you by his power unless you've been lying all this time. Making excuses. That's what Saul did. He said, listen in verse 21, but the people. He said, I was doing what God told me to do. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief thing, which we would have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice. I was doing what I was supposed to do, but the people, and I had to listen to the people because I was afraid of the people. They might turn on me. See, a lot of us, we are governed by what people say, what people do, and how we try to impress people instead of trying to impress God. Who are you going to serve, God or the people around you? You're trying to impress the people on your job, the people in your family. You're trying to impress those people by what you do, so when you get with them, you do what they do. Walk away. Well, they was drinking, so I think it couldn't really hurt none, so I took me a little drink too, you know. Kill it. It started out all right, and it was a family reunion, but they started playing, then they started playing the cards for money, and I had a little money on me, and so I didn't think nothing was wrong with that. But well, hold on, wait a minute. Kill it! Well, God didn't mean for me to just be all by myself, and I got a wife, but you know, my girlfriend, I haven't had her for a number of years, and you know, I think my wife know about her. Kill it! And I'm going to break up with him. I've been saying I'm going to break up with him. But I know he's married, but I'm going to break up with him. But you've been going with him for 10 years. Kill it. We tried to justify our sinfulness. But God said, kill it. I know he ain't saved and everything. We having sex, but we gonna get married. You ain't got no ring, do you? And that ring don't give you permission, does it? God said, kill it. It's still fornication. Amen. Kill it. And everybody laughing at you. And you don't know they laughing at you because everybody accept that mess, but you don't, because God ain't accepting it. It's a sin. Kill it. Well, God knows. I mean, after all, he made her fine as she is. And I wouldn't leave her alone, but every now and then I come on the job, there she is. She got a new outfit, and I got to say something to her. I mean, I got to say something. But why you keep driving by her house? Why you keep parking out in front of her house? Amen. That's called stalking. Kill it! Let it go, brothers and sisters. And see, I don't care if the people don't see what you do. God sees everything that you do. And you making excuses. Talking about I'm only human. God know I'm weak. Yeah, he know you're weak. But he's given you power to get over it, to get past these things. Kill it. See, God gave Saul the right. God, if Paul had just reflected over how good God had been to him, he would have broke out in some praise. See, that's one of the nature. That's one of the good things about killing some of those things. How do you kill it? I'm glad you asked me that, because that's a good question. First of all, you start in studying the Word of God. I'm not just reading the Word, but actually studying the Word of God and then doing what the Word of God says. And then I ask that you fortify your prayer life and pray often. And I guarantee you, if you pray often, praise will break out. Oh, yes, it will. If you pray enough, praise will break out and you start thanking God for them little things you forgot to thank him for. Amen. You start realizing how good God has been to you. And when you do that, praise will break out and you'll praise him. And that's where you kill those things that's trying to kill you. Be faithful unto God. Read his word. Study his word. Let his word convict you of your sins. Amen. That's what's wrong with the church. We don't have enough conviction in the church. Amen. Love not the world. Don't love those things. Because those things don't love you. Saul said, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I listened to the people. And after all, they were gathering up all of this so we could have burnt sacrifices. That's what we were going to do. We were saving all these sheep and oxen. We were going to sacrifice them unto the Lord. Amen. So then the seer, Samuel, gives him a word. He says, is God concerned about sacrifices? You think that's the chief thing that God wants? He said, does God delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? In verse 22, he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, and that's what Paul was doing. Saul was rebelling. Rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is at iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. God has rejected you. But he said, but we were going to sacrifice. And you'll be surprised. Every time I'm talking to people, every now and then I get them by themselves and we're talking about their sin, the first thing they want to holler about their sacrifice. But I tithe. Wait a minute. You can't take that hymn book home with you. But I tithe. You can't take that chair out of this church. That belongs to the church. But I tithe. Folks, you can't sin and think your tithe going to cover up your sin. Stealing is stealing. Lying is lying. Gossip is gossiping. Cussing is cussing. Amen. Plus you tithe. That sacrifice, the Bible says, present yourself a living sacrifice. You, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, 1. To obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God's word is the best thing you can do. Kill it all. Kill it all. Make no excuses for your sins. Don't blame other people. And stop blaming the devil for everything you do. Devil didn't make you do nothing. You did it because you wanted to do it. You did it because it seemed like fun, because it was fun the last time you did it. Amen. Amen. Devil didn't have nothing to do with this. Y'all be lying on the devil all the time, talking about the devil made me do. Devil didn't make you do nothing. You better kill it. Saul had excuses for his sins. He partially obeyed God. And that's what's wrong with us in the church. We partially obey the word of God. But he didn't say by limitation or by limiting what you do. Kill it all. We thank God is pleased because we partially obeyed his command, but God is not pleased. You have limited sin. You have cut back on your sin. Say, I don't smoke. I don't smoke but 10 cigarettes a day. I used to smoke two packs. You're still sinning. You're killing your body. It's sin. It smells like an ashtray. I got to make it sound bad. I know who my smokers are. Amen. come up to me talking about praise the Lord. Saul made excuses for this sin. He blamed the people. He blamed everything, but until he blamed himself, and he says in verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. It finally came down. And brothers and sisters, you will run from sin until you finally admit you have sinned and you have come short of the glory of God, and you need to correct the sins that you've done. And I'm talking about those things that you have forgotten that you do all the time, those hidden things. You think God can't see that mess? Those secret sins. You know what I'm... Everybody got some secret sins. Amen. Amen. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You've got some secret sins. You just don't want me to know nothing about it. But God knows about it. Sitting up here with your Sunday go to meeting clothes on thinking that you don't sin. You got some hidden sin that God knows all about it. And you know I'm convicting you. That's why some of y'all are laughing. You're trying to cover it up with your laughing. People of God have a problem obeying God. Making excuses for their sin. Blaming others for their sin. She made me do it. He made me do it. The devil made me do it. Didn't nobody make you do it. You did it yourself. You want to impress people with you. That's what Saul wanted to do until he finally got to that place where he confessed his sin. Samuel turned away from him and was going to walk away. And he caught hold to the hem of his garment and he tore it. And he said, just like you tore that, God's going to tear the kingdom from you. He begged him to go back with me so that the people won't think that you're not speaking to me anymore. Go back and worship God with me. And finally, Samuel went back with him, but it was too late because God had already rejected him. He said, I'm going to give your kingdom to your neighbor. Someone after his own heart talking about King David. And I can hear Samuel say, where your trophy at? And that's King Ahab. King Agag, he comes around and he's thinking that he's going to get off now because he's thinking everything has passed. It says, surely the bitterness of death is past in verse 32. But Samuel took a sword and he said, you have made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And he hacked him up and cut him up in pieces. I'm going to do what you couldn't do. You was too weak to do. Let me tell you something. If you don't kill that thing that's killing you, God will take you out of here. I can't make this no plainer than that. I can't make it any plainer. Don't make any excuse for your sin. Kill it. Oh. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus came into this earth, he did not come to make a down payment on our sins. He didn't come to make a partial payment. I'll pay a little now and a little later. He came to give his entire life for us. He didn't partially do anything. He came for full payment of sin. He paid it all. That's why we say Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We must kill it before our sin kills us. Listen to what it says in Romans 6, 4 and 7. Therefore, 6, 4 all through 7. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. He died for us. We need to live for him. He died upon Calvary's cross for all of our sins. He paid the price in full. He shed his precious blood. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They pierced him in the side. They had hung him upon the cross between two thieves. He suffered, bled, and died. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the book said early Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Kill it all. Kill it all. Kill it all before it kills you. Since Jesus died for us, we must live for him. That same Jesus is coming back, brothers and sisters. You better get ready because the Lord is soon to return. Kill it all. Say with me, kill it all.
Kill it all.
Kill it all. God bless you. The door to the church is open. You may stand to your feet. I know some.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.